Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org. In your life, here's our sermon this morning through the life of Zacchaeus. Good news, see Jesus. The main point that I want you to see is that once you see Jesus, and some of you can testify to that, has been testified to this morning. Once you see Jesus, nothing in your life is ever the same. Or maybe we can say it like this. Once you see Jesus, you see all of your life through different eyes. C.S. Lewis famously quoted, and you've probably heard this quote before. He said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else." Now, this morning, we'll see this truth in the life of Zacchaeus, and even in the parable that follows, that Zacchaeus sees Jesus, and Jesus sees him, and his life is changed forever, and he can't unsee. Have you ever been in a moment where I can't unsee that? I can't unsee Jesus, and now through Jesus, Zacchaeus sees all that he is, and all that he has is now for Christ. And so that's what I want us to see this morning as we behold Jesus in Luke chapter 19. First, let's go ahead and see Zacchaeus. Now, let's get a picture of who this man is. What kind of people have hope? What kind of people does Jesus open the eyes of? So let's see Zacchaeus. And there are some stories in the Bible that obviously maybe if you grew up in church that you just know. And if you grew up in church, there's no doubt that you know the story of Zacchaeus. And right now, you want me to sing the song about Zacchaeus being a wee little man, and I am not going to sing that song. But he was a wee little man, and he wanted to see the Lord. The Lord came down and called Zacchaeus down from the tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as Jesus passed Zacchaeus' way, he said, "Come down, for I'm going to your house today," for all of those who grew up in Sunday school. If not, don't worry. I'm going to tell you the story of Zacchaeus. Let's read about Zacchaeus. So we know a little bit about him if you grew up in church, but let's go ahead and read this. He entered Jericho. Jesus was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus in verse 2. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. So let's make some comments and have some understanding about who this man Zacchaeus was. He was a tax collector. We know that. And if you're a tax collector this morning, we love you. We're glad you're here. How many of you just would naturally love tax collectors? How many of you enjoyed filing your taxes on time, if you've done that already, or filed an extension or something like that? You probably didn't enjoy that. Or how many of you enjoy seeing how much money actually comes out of your paycheck? And for your self-employed folks, how many of you love paying quarterly taxes? Like, that just blesses your heart through and through to be able to send that money off quarter in and quarter out. Zacchaeus was very good at finding revenue streams and finding money to tax in particularly Jericho. He's a chief tax collector in Jericho, one of the wealthiest towns around. So this means he was one of the wealthiest men around because he was able to tax a lot of people a lot of money. He is, if you will, the kingpin of the Jericho Roman tax cartel. He is the Jericho king. He is rich, and his wealth came from shaking down his own people to give to Rome, who was oppressing those same people. He's really good at taking people's money, upcharging their taxes, and getting wealthy on account of it. He is an outsider, a sinner, and generally not well liked. For people like this, you might say for some people like Zacchaeus, if you have a picture of someone like this in your head, that those are the folks that will never see Jesus. Or we don't want them to see Jesus because of what we think about them. We would think impossible for that rich man to enter the kingdom. In fact, in Luke chapter 19, that's what Jesus was talking about with a rich young ruler. That it is impossible for this man to be saved apart from God doing something in his life. And so we see Zacchaeus, he's small in stature, spiritually and physically, he would have a hard time seeing Jesus. Much like the rich young ruler, as I said a second ago in Luke chapter 18, who Jesus said that wealth has a grip on your heart, rich young ruler. And Jesus has come to break that grip of wealth on your heart, that love of money on your heart. And what did the rich young ruler do? He walked away sad. And Jesus, his disciples have the question, who then can be saved? And he says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But here in Luke chapter 19, with man it's impossible, with God it is possible. That in Luke 19 we see a camel go through the eye of the needle, do the impossible by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. With man this is possible, but with God it is even possible for the kingpin of the Jericho tax cartel to be saved and know Jesus. And so the story of Zacchaeus holds great significance in the journey of Jesus to the cross. At the end of this chapter, we won't talk about it this morning because we talked about it on Palm Sunday. Jesus is going to enter Jerusalem for that final week of his life where he'll give his life as a ransom for many. But what might be considered this final personal encounter that Jesus has on his way to the cross, on his way to Jerusalem, is a story that concludes. Look at the end of Zacchaeus' story in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It concludes by summarizing the mission of Jesus' life. Do you see it there? For the Son of Man, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. To save people like Zacchaeus, the generally unlikable, the sinners, the scoundrels, the people who you would say it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than that man to be saved. And Jesus says, watch me carry this man through the eye of the needle and change his life forever. This is impossible with man. This is impossible with you. This is impossible with Zacchaeus. But with God, all things are possible. And when Jesus does this in Zacchaeus' life, he'll see everything by way of this encounter he'll have with Jesus. So that's Zacchaeus. That's where he is. He's the rich man who cannot save himself, but he longs to see Jesus. Here's, as we understand the life of Zacchaeus, let me give you this first main point. There's only two big points here this morning. Here's the first thing that I want you to know. Do whatever it takes to see Jesus. Do whatever it takes to see Jesus. Look at what it says in verse 3. And this man that I just told you about, Zacchaeus, verse 3, he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd could not because he was small in stature. Do whatever it takes to see Jesus. I don't know, and we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, necessarily what gave Zacchaeus this desire that day. That he just had to see who Jesus was. And he wanted to see. The crowds are forming. Maybe it was just the hype of the crowds. I don't know. But he wanted to see who Jesus was. Perhaps out of curiosity. Perhaps because maybe he heard about an old tax associate, Levi, who is now Matthew following Jesus and the life change that he had. I don't know. Maybe because he was finally looking for something more that all the tax collecting in the world, even in a town like Jericho, could not satisfy the desires of his heart. What about you? We all come to Jesus at different times and different scenarios. Maybe you just showed up to church. Something happened in your heart that gave you some sort of curiosity. Jesus describes it like this in John chapter 3. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The wind was blowing that day in the heart of Zacchaeus, and perhaps you've experienced that before. Perhaps the wind is blowing in your heart this morning. Like, tell me more about Jesus, because I'm lost and I want to be saved. And maybe you remember a time in your life where you just went to a service or you had a conversation with your friend and all of a sudden you became curious about, hey, tell me more about Jesus. Like something happened in your heart that you thought, man, I have to do whatever it takes to see Jesus because I want my life to be changed. That was Zacchaeus that day. I'm not sure what happened particularly, but I know the Spirit was moving his heart and he just had to see who Jesus was. And he did whatever it took to see Jesus. In verse 4, he ran ahead. Do you see it there? He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was about to pass that way. So get the picture, right? This wealthy man, who likely oppressed people, who might have been accustomed to others ignoring him, so to be pushed out the way was probably not unlike something to happen to Zacchaeus. They're kind of maybe boxing him out where he can't see. Maybe they're trying to avoid him and ignore him because I don't want to make eye contact with this guy because then he might be after me next to shake me down for all of my lunch money and to tax it. I don't know. He climbs up into a tree. Don't miss that. Who will you expect to be climbing in the tree? I have two big crepe myrtles outside the front of my house. If you showed up one day and saw my legs dangling out of my crepe myrtle tree and you passed by to come to my house and say, hey, what's up? How's it going? What would you think about that? Yeah, be a little perplexing. What's that grown man doing in the tree, right? If you see my kids, you would say, wow, look at them. They're having the time of their life climbing up. Like, it just makes sense for a child to climb a tree, not so much here for a grown man. So I see Zacchaeus here as like a child, like in Luke chapter 18. Jesus says, let the little children come to me. And so we're almost kind of seeing that fulfilled, Luke 18, in this life of Zacchaeus. And like a child sitting on a branch with his legs dangling in the sycamore tree, that he wants to see Jesus and get an idea of who he is, just to see a passing glimpse. This man, probably in expensive robes and the sign of wealth, has climbed up in this tree. I just have to see Jesus like this undignified child. And sometimes you have to do that. You have to lay down your pride. You have to lay down all that you think about yourself, all that you think about how great you are, everything that you have to do, whatever it takes. And sometimes whatever it takes is forgetting about yourself and as a child come to behold Christ. That's where Zacchaeus is. Verse 5. So he does whatever it takes, even if it means becoming like a child, in verse 5. And wouldn't you know it, Jesus passes his way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today. Notice this, do whatever it takes to see Jesus, humble yourself as a child, and wouldn't you know, you just might find that Jesus passes your way. Again, this is probably true for a lot of us that we just wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And here we don't get this idea that he wants to have an interaction with Jesus, that he just wants to see who he was and kind of behold him. And he does whatever it takes. But we see that something else happens, that Jesus passes his way. And perhaps that's true of you, that you just wanted to get a glimpse. And then as Jesus passes your way, all of a sudden he sees you and locks eyes with you. Me? Like, I just wanted to come and hear a sermon. Like, I just wanted to get a glimpse. I just wanted to have a, I didn't want like all of this relationship thing. No, I just wanted to see. But Jesus passes his way and he locks eyes with this sinner, this outcast, this camel who could not get through the eye of a needle. And he looks up and he calls him by name. How about that? Zacchaeus. I just can't imagine the moment, and perhaps you remember the moment where Jesus, as it were, locked eyes with you, and all of a sudden he calls you by name and calls you out of darkness and calls you into light, and he calls you son or daughter. He sees Zacchaeus. He calls him by name while Zacchaeus is still up in the tree in a mess, right? Like, you see that. Like, Zacchaeus, come down, like, get your life together, go ahead and start, like, doing all of the things that you need to do to make your life right, to get your money straight, and to stop doing what you're doing. Like, do that, and after you do that, I'm going to come to your house, and then I'm going to dine with you, and we'll be friends. But first, you need to come down and go get your life together. No, he says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming over today. Seems a bit presumptuous, but he is the Son of God. Hey, guy hanging in the tree, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house for dinner, possibly a sleepover, and I'm going to be there a while, at least for today, and maybe through tonight. Maybe that's a bit of us. We kind of showed up at church, kind of showed up into a conversation, kind of showed up at some sort of whatever, didn't really want to be noticed, just kind of want to get a glimpse of Jesus and be done and go on with our lives as we were going, not really to be changed, but just kind of know a little bit about him. And all of a sudden, Jesus locks eyes with us and says, I'm coming over on this normal day. Yes, abnormal in the sense that the Son of Man is passing through Jericho, but by all means, a normal day for Zacchaeus. Maybe that's a bit of you this morning. It's a normal day, but it's almost like Jesus has locked eyes with you and he's calling you down, calling you out of hiding, and calling you into fellowship with him. That would just be just like Jesus to do that, by the way. Because the Son of Man, what, has come to seek and to save the lost, that God welcomes sinners. He comes to seek and to save the lost. The religious have this idea that he must come down and get his life together, but Jesus seeks sinners. He's drawn to sinners because Jesus alone can make sinners clean, can restore sinners, can save sinners. Sinners are not a match for Jesus, that he can carry you through the eye of the needle. Maybe you're thinking, God can't save me. That's impossible. Yes, with you it's impossible, but with God, all things are impossible. Zacchaeus receives Jesus joyfully. Do you see it there? And Zacchaeus stood and said, behold, no, excuse me, before that. So he hurried down, verse 6, and came down and received him joyfully. And do whatever it takes to see Jesus, and part of that is receiving Jesus joyfully. Going back to Luke 18 for a moment, like a persistent widow pleading with a judge for justice and mercy, this tax collector stood at a distance, hoping God would have mercy on him, a sinner. And like a child, he climbed up into the tree, and like blind Bartimaeus, Jesus opened his eyes, and unlike the rich young ruler, he didn't walk away sad, but joyfully received Christ and followed him. Zacchaeus was changed. And Jesus says that he is a son of Abraham. I want you to notice this. When you do whatever it takes to see Jesus, some of you may identify with this in verse 7. And when they saw it, who, the religious and all around, they grumbled, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. It's the crowds that are missing it. It's the religious that are missing it. They don't see the need for grace. These folks are pressing into Jesus, but they miss Jesus and don't see it. And they're not happy that Zacchaeus has seen him and has been changed by him, and that Jesus has taken notice of Zacchaeus. Maybe you've noticed this before as we see these religious folks grumbling that Jesus eats with sinners. Have you noticed this, that not everyone will be happy when you fellowship with Jesus? Even among the crowds that follow Jesus, a godly person would rejoice to see you turn from sin and follow the Lord, but not everyone in the crowd, though they religious, know Jesus personally. And they see you and define you by your sinful past. And they grumble. Jesus saved him? Zacchaeus, don't you know what he's done? Don't let people like that stop you from following Jesus. Do whatever it takes, even if it means climbing in the tree to see past the religious crowds, to behold Christ and watch him change your life. So the bottom line, do whatever it takes to see Jesus, even risking your own reputation, your own dignity, your own ideal of yourself. Be urgent. Jesus sees Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus joyfully receives Jesus. Jesus dines with him, and Jesus changes him. So it wasn't just a dinner party. Something happened in the life of Zacchaeus. So do whatever it takes to see Jesus and know this. Here's the second big point that I want you to see this morning. Once you see Jesus, do everything you can to see Jesus. Once you see him, he sees you, he changes you. See all that you are and all that you have for Jesus' sake. That once Jesus changes you, see all that you are and all that you have for Jesus' sake. So we see that Jesus changes Zacchaeus. Look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus has changed him forever. Whether he saw the emptiness of his worldly pursuits or whatever happened, we see here that the grip of wealth had been broken from his heart. Or his heart had been broken, I should say, from the grip of wealth. What brought this change? Because after this, Jesus says, now today, salvation has come to his house, for he is a son of Abraham. Was Jesus saying, because he's done these things, therefore he is saved? Has somehow Zacchaeus, who had all the money in the world, has he bought salvation? Has he bought his sonship? Has he purchased that for himself? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. He is saying that a sign that his heart has been changed is that the grip of wealth has been broken from his heart. And now he's joyfully giving everything he has for the sake of Jesus, everything that he is, all that he has for the sake of Jesus. But what changed him was not the way he now deals with what once had a grip on his heart. For him, it was well. Something, it might be something else for you, by the way. Something else might have a grip on your heart this morning and say, Jesus, not that. Anything but that. Don't touch that. What brought the change? Grace. Grace is what changes us. The law cannot change us. The law is powerless to save us, but grace can do what the law cannot do. Zacchaeus is changed because he sees Jesus, because he beholds Jesus, and he wanted to see Jesus was, and Jesus saw him, and Jesus seeks and saves the lost. What has changed the heart of Zacchaeus is grace, God's unearned favor towards sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. What melts his heart, what reshapes his desires, and creates genuine obedience from the inside out is grace. That Jesus saw him and called him down and called him by name. Grace supplies what the law cannot. In doing so, it empowers a new kind of life marked by the light in God and doing what he's called us to do. So grace, Jesus passes his way, sees him, and calls him down. Grace broke the hold of money on his life. Grace will break whatever has the hold on your life when you see, wow, he loves me, a sinner. And it's all grace. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I come to you, dress me, clothe me, do in me what I cannot do myself. I need to pass through the eye of the needle, and I am the size of a camel, but if through the power and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do that. And wow, he does that. That will break the hold of anything on your life, or you will say all for Jesus. For he came and sought me, a sinner, and saved me, a sinner. The experience of grace changes Zacchaeus. What the law could not do, the gospel did. The gospel is the power that changes our hearts and transforms us so that we become like Jesus and want to do what the Lord requires. This is gospel transformation that has happened in the life of Zacchaeus. The sinner, saved, camel, through the eye of the needle, the blind, the see, the child, welcome, all that he is for Jesus. And he cannot unsee what he has seen that day in Jesus. And now he sees everything. What about you? Have you beheld Christ? Has he broken the hold of whatever it has on, whatever has a hold on your heart in life this morning? And you see Jesus, and you can't unsee Jesus because your heart has been changed. And now you see everything, and you know your life needs to be changed. And I can't change that. No kidding, you can't change that. But greater is he is in you than he is in the world. He will bring about change in your life through your understanding of the gospel of grace. And so he sees everything. Zacchaeus is not buying salvation at this point. He's displaying a heart that has been changed by Jesus. Well, what about you? Jesus tells us a parable. We're not going to read through that whole parable, don't worry. But let me give you some highlights. Jesus follows this story with a parable. In verse 11, I'm just going to read the opening of this. As they heard these things, what things? Zacchaeus was saved. The Son of Man comes to seek and save the lost. Did you hear what happened with Zacchaeus? He gave everything that he had. He sold half of his goods and gave them to the poor. If he defrauded anyone, like he's going house to house and he's restoring to them fourfold. Did you hear what happened to Zacchaeus? Did you hear how Jesus changed his life? It's kind of like what he did with Levi a few years ago, and now he's done it to Zacchaeus. This is unbelievable. So they're hearing the power of the gospel, the power that Jesus saves sinners. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so out of that, in verse 11, it says he tells them this parable about the kingdom of God. And let me just sum it up for you. It goes across quite a few verses here. Jesus tells this parable in multiple gospel accounts. But each time the point is simply this, that God entrusts us with something, and God will hold us accountable for how we spend and use what we have been entrusted with. In this parable, in Luke's version, there are 10 servants. Each are trusted with one mina, a fixed monetary unit equivalent to about 4 months' pay. And each servant had varying degrees of success stewarding what was entrusted to them. And one was able to get tenfold back, one fivefold back, and the returning king praised them for the investment that they had. There's one that the king, the returning king, is not pleased with, and is the one who took his mina, what he had been entrusted with, he put it in a handkerchief and kind of put it in his pocket and hid it and did nothing with it. And the king comes back and said, you should have done something with it. You could have at least put it in the bank and got some interest, but you didn't even do that. And this servant said, I thought you were a mean guy. I had a very misunderstanding of who you are, and so therefore I did nothing with what you entrusted me with. Jesus is telling this parable for multiple reasons, but for the sake of our time together this morning, let's make the simple point this. We've all been entrusted with something. Relationships, talent, treasure, resources, something. And God's calling us to steward it faithfully. And the only way that we will do that is if, like Zacchaeus, our hearts are changed and we see Jesus. Now you see, like he was not, Zacchaeus was not stewarding his money faithfully until God had a grip on his heart. And we will not steward our relationships. We will not steward our time. We will not steward our talents. We will not do that well. And we cannot do that in order to earn the favor of God. But if we are to steward those correctly and in a way that honors the Lord, our hearts must be changed by the gospel. To live with eternity in mind so that we can say at the end of the day, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have run the course laid out for me. What course has the Lord laid out for you? We see for Zacchaeus, he's now leveraging his life, using his resources with gospel intentionality, and this is a call for all of us. Some walked away in that parable saying, Jesus, we don't want you to reign over our lives. For Zacchaeus, he says, all that I am, all that I have, for you, King Jesus, for you have come to seek and to save the lost, and you have saved me. So I'm going to close by asking you this. What do you see? What eyes do you see this world with? What eyes do you see your life with? What eyes do you see this church with? What eyes do you see your relationship with? What eyes do you see your circumstances with? What eyes do you see, as Tim testified to this morning, what eyes do you see your sickness with? What eyes do you see? God, would you give us grace to see through the eyes of Jesus? And with all that we have and all that we are for Jesus, that Jesus seeks sinners and he has sought me, he has changed me, and I cannot unsee that. And we would experience his grace, we'll never be the same. So let's pursue Jesus urgently, even if it means climbing a tree. Don't let people block your view of Jesus or circumstances block your view of Jesus. Do whatever you can to peer around those things. Receive Jesus joyfully. Expect real change in your life, because once he has a hold on your heart, all other things that are holding your heart, that grip is broken. So would you submit to him today? Would you live your life for King Jesus? Everything that you have, all that you have, all for him, surrendered to him. Let's go ahead and pray.